I don't know if you're finished with your shopping or not. I'm not. But the greatest gift that's ever given was planned and determined and fixed before the world was ever made and before the world was ever created. John chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible will give us a statement and summary regarding that greatest gift. John 3:16, for God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune deity, the deity that created all things, the deity that created and made everything that there is. It is this, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The greatness of the gift is in the giver. And there is no one greater, no thing greater, nothing greater than our God. And the gift that He gives is the greatest of all gifts because of who the giver is. He is the maker of all things. He is the one who knows us completely. He is the one who knows everything about us and everything that we need. And He knew before He ever made us exactly what we would need. And He knew that there was no one who could give it to us except for Himself. And it would not be anything that He would make. It would be Himself. And so this greatest gift is given to us by God, who gives Himself. For God so loved. He loved this much. He loved to this extent. And yet, this is not the phrase we would have expected. This is not the phrase that first comes to our mind. And this is not the phrase that we would have anticipated from Him. We would have thought instead that instead of saying, for God so loved, what we would have expected was, God so hated sin. Or perhaps we would expect that God was so angry. So angry with us and so angry with all of humanity. And I have to tell you that it's these words right here that convict me probably more than anything else that is here. And my reaction to those who hate us, and my reaction to those who despise us, my reaction to those that we would consider to be our enemies, what we want them to be shown is God's hatred of them and their actions. And what we want them to be shown is God's anger. And we want them to be taken care of and removed. And yet their actions are no different from ours in connection with God. And what we would expect and what we would want is not at all what we receive from God. Because in connection with this greatest gift, the motive for it was not His anger towards sin and His hatred of sin. Although it demonstrates His hatred of sin and it demonstrates His anger towards sin, the primary motive of it was His love for us. He loved us this much, and He loved us so much. He gave us something that we could not provide for ourselves. He gave us something that every single one of us needed. And with all that we had done in rebellion to Him, His first response to us was showing us His love. His first response to us was a thing called forgiveness. And an offer of it. And a possibility of it. And He gives to us forgiveness through this great gift that he's given to each and every one of us. He so loved the world, all of us. It doesn't matter how they relate with me and how I might relate with them. He did this for the whole world, this gift. For all people. All who have ever lived. All who are going to live. All who are living now. Every single one of them. Not one single exception. Not one single individual, no matter how foreign their thinking might be from what I think it ought to be, not a single one of them is exempt from this great gift. It is given to each and every one of them. Sometimes, though, we get lost in the masses. Sometimes it's easy for us to think about the God who loves the world. But this gift was given for you, no matter who you are. No matter what you've done, no matter what you're doing, this gift was for you. This gift was for me. For every single one of us, individually, this gift was given. Which is why the Apostle Paul will write, "The Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me," in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Which is why I included at the start, "for God," meaning Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because as the Bible goes through its revelation, here in what Paul writes in the book of Galatians, it is not only "for God so loved," it is also "for Jesus so loved." The Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. For God so loved the world that he gave the gift. And it's referred to in the Bible as the gift. Paul will write in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God." The gift given to us through Jesus Christ. Because the death that he died paid the penalty for every sin that every human being has ever committed and ever will commit. The death that he died for every single one of us. And paid for all of our sins. He gave his only one of his kind son. His unique son. His only begotten, as some translations will put it. But it literally means the only one of his kind. The only one that is like him. There is no other. There is only him. And he gave his only unique son for me. And Jesus gave himself for me. That's the love that motivated Paul. That's the love that drove Paul. That's the love that caused Paul to do all the things that he did, and the motivation that should drive each and every one of us. And our response to this greatest of all gifts that has been given to us. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Tonight, we're going to look at another verse. We're going to look at another verse that gives us the proper response to the gift. But this sums it up. And we'll come back to this verse tonight as we look at it. This great gift is given to all humanity. But there's a condition that comes with it. There's an expectation that comes with it. There's an expectation that comes from the giver of this great gift. This great gift is not to be ignored. This great gift is not to be considered as insignificant. This great gift is not to be reduced to nothing. This great gift is everything. And so the giver of this great gift says that whoever believes in him, in this great gift, shall not perish but have eternal life. I ran across a phrase this week, a phrase in an article that I was reading, and the phrase is this: Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And the reason I included it in the lesson this morning and included it on the slide is because of the context in which it was written. And it was written from the context, or at least it appeared to me to be in the context in which it was written, to be saying that Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And really what it was saying was Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. And if that's what it was saying, Jesus plus nothing equals salvation, then the response would have to be, that's not what the giver of this gift says. Because if it were true that Jesus plus nothing equals salvation, then no one would be lost. Because what Jesus did, he did for every person. But God expects this gift to be received. And he expects this gift to be received in a particular way. And that way that this gift is to be received is through a thing called faith. We believe it and we trust it. But as I got to thinking about this phrase and kind of removing it from the context in which it was used, the idea of Jesus plus nothing equals everything has truth to it. Because the Bible will tell us that God made everything and everything is made for him. And without him, nothing exists. He holds everything together by the power of his word. Everything exists and holds together because of him. So Jesus plus nothing equals everything. He is the reason for everything. He is behind everything. And there is a sense in which it's true. But there's also the idea that is predominant in our world today. Predominant in our world today that this gift of Jesus was on the cross, but it doesn't really matter if you believe in that, just whatever you want to believe in God. But if you do believe in Jesus, it doesn't really matter how that belief shows itself out. You can do whatever you want to do. And we always kind of look at that from the standpoint of Jesus saves us, period. Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. And that's not what the Bible says. Because the Bible will tell us this: salvation is a gift of God's grace, and it's received through faith. That's what that passage in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 is talking about. God's gift of grace through faith. We are saved by that. We are saved by God's gift through faith. Through our trust in him. Through our reliance upon him. And we have this great gift which is given to all of us, made effective in our lives because we trust it. Made effective in our lives because we believe it. Made effective in our lives because we hold to it. And because we yield to it. And so by God's grace through faith, we have salvation. This great gift. There is no greater gift. There is no gift needed greater and the one that says all of your sins are forgiven, all of your sins are paid for, and all of your sins are washed away. And that's done through Jesus Christ, and through the death that he died for all of humanity. And that gift is given to us as it is given to all of humanity. And we benefit from that gift when we receive it and trust it in faith in what God has done for us and what God has said. The greatest gift is for your taking. Have you received it? Have you taken it? Do you believe it? Do you trust it? Are you holding to it? If you need to come and receive that great gift this morning, if you need to come home to Christ, we offer you His invitation as together we stand and as we sing.